what else do you have? Do you have a boat? Do you have a car? Do you have a service? Do you have something else of value that could be valuable to that seller, or maybe to another investor that can come alongside with the cash in exchange for your personal property?
Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it. Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend, Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy to understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars to claim your free course today. Hey, welcome back to another Hump Day Hustle. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. With me, as always, is John Stiles with Bridge Realty. John, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Todd. How are you today?
I am fantastic. Just got back from Lexington and Cincinnati, walked some of my properties there, and officially closed on the property I've been talking about for quite some time. So officially closed on that. Yeah, good thing, huh? Yeah. So we're closed. I'm excited to start with the construction and just with the implementation of the value add. There's a lot of good value to be added to this property. A lot of, I think, low hanging fruit and some heavy lifting as well. So we're just excited to get started with the project. I had a lot of meetings with contractors, property manager, on-site staff, all that kind of stuff. And so some good conversations. I think a lot of good excitement around from everybody thinking that this is going to be a really positive project. So I'm excited for that. There's also some properties nearby that are making some good changes as well. So I think that's going to be helpful as well to see the whole kind of community area making positive changes. And I think combined, it'll be a better community. So definitely excited.
Very good. Well, that'll be exciting to continue to watch the progress on that.
Yeah. So it's good because now right in that general area, we have just over 200 units, and that creates some synergy and, some scale, which is definitely helpful. Property management company hired a new regional manager on to just because they've got, my couple properties, they've got a couple properties that they own, and then they've got a couple other properties that they manage. And so they've been adding more properties, and so they hired another staff member, which is nice to have even more people locally in the area. So that'll be helpful as well.
Yeah. So
I'm excited. Definitely excited. So today, this whole deal was a pretty creative deal, at least in my mind. It was fairly creative, non-traditional, let's just say. So today we're going to talk about, you know, buying multifamily, and this can be applied to single family, commercial, really anything. But we're going to talk about, you know, buying properties creatively, and in a non-traditional way. A lot of people just think it can't be done. And I know I've posted like before Bigger Pockets and wherever, and people just, there's so many naysayers, especially because today's a hot market, right? So why would anybody want to sell their property creatively? You know, just sell it for cash or sell it, you know, to get the cash right away, because it's a super hot market. But there's many reasons why people want to sell, you know, creatively, and it can definitely work in your favor if you're buying a property that creativity works well in. So I think probably the first thing we should talk about is why. Like, why would anybody want to sell versus sell creatively versus just getting their money? So first thing for me that comes to mind is motivation. I mean, what's their motivation? You got to find out what the seller's motivations are. Are they tired of owning the property, and is it distressed? I think that's the easiest way to get seller finance, is if you got a distressed property. The more distressed it is, the easier seller financing will be able to get. So if it's just a distressed property, but it's got 95% occupancy, but maybe hasn't been remodeled for 25, 30 years, upkeep isn't that great, they might not be as motivated to do seller financing because they know everybody can get a traditional loan. However, they may be, because they're really tired to deal with it. They still want their price, and they're willing to do seller financing. So that's the other thing, is are they stuck on price? You know, if they're stuck on price, sometimes they're willing to say, look, I want $4 million for my building, but they're willing to give you some terms that'll make that actually attractive at $4 million, where maybe if you have to buy it, let's say with a bridge lender or something like that, you'd have to buy it for maybe $200,000 or $300,000 less, and they're not willing to do that. So there's that. There's, again, how distressed is it? Can you get financing on it? Or is it easy to get financing on it? Because it's not easy to get financing on it for you. It's likely not easy for anybody. And so when you can start getting creative, and they can see, wow, we can sell this property for the price we want, or at least close, and this person's willing to work with it with us, then that's good.
Yeah. Talking about the seller's motivation is really important. I mean, the reasons that somebody might want to sell are numerous, but maybe some of the most obvious ones is that they can't take care of the property anymore. They've lost interest in the property. Maybe they have something new that they want to buy, and maybe they need all the money so to go into that new purchase. So that would maybe limit some of the creative options that you have. But that's why you kind of, if you can, find out, you know, why is the seller selling right now?
Yep, absolutely. So we can go, you know, if we can find out why are you selling? If we're selling, like one of the creative financing deals I did not too long ago, the guy was selling because he was retiring. He didn't want to deal with the properties. He wanted to spend more time with his kids and his grandkids. And so that was his motivation. He wanted that freedom. Well, he wants to get out of the property, but yet the properties were fairly distressed. It was a 22 unit, and he had 11 vacancies on the 22 unit. So he's only got 9 occupied. So he's not making any money on this building. Well, he had all cash. So he probably still wasn't making any money, not at 9 occupied. But his motivation was not necessarily to sell the property. He still likes the idea of passive income. His motivation was to spend more time with this family. And so that's the key right there. And that's where I knew with that guy is there's a decent chance he's willing to do seller financing. So for me, my job was to show him how much money he could make if he financed the property for me. So I'll, since we're talking about that deal, I'll talk about that deal. It's a 22 unit property, and I ended up submitting just a regular offer, but also an offer with seller financing. And that offer with seller financing was 10% down only. It was 5% interest, 5-year balloon, 25-year AM. Okay, so pretty good terms. Terms that a local bank would do. Not, it's not Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, but this isn't a big enough property for like a Freddie Mac small balance. So terms like a local bank would do, but it was 10% down. Now I could put out, maybe have even got less down, but I didn't want less down. I wanted to at least put 10% into it. So when I showed him, here's a strategy that I would tell everybody is if there's an option to do traditional financing or seller financing, do two options or maybe even three different creative options, but do the, here's the traditional financing. This is what I'd buy your property for. And that amount oftentimes is less. So maybe I'm going to only buy it for $500,000. But if you do seller financing for me at this term and this, I'll buy it for $525,000 maybe. You got to figure out what works for you, of course. And then maybe this is even another option of a different type of creative financing, which we'll talk about some other types where, you know, that you can go, maybe it's again, $525,000, but there's some different creative caveats in there. So then they have some options. And then what I would do is I would show them why it's lucrative to do option B and option C, this the creative financing. So what I did with this guy is I sent him an amortization schedule showing his principal and interest payments every single month. And I'm paying him $2,300 a month, where previously he was making zero and spending all this time on the property. So it made a ton of sense for him.
Right.
He looked at that and he said, yeah, let's do it. So I solved the problem with him and I solved the problem with me where it would have been really hard for me to get bank finance on that because I wasn't in state. And now it would be very easy. I could refinance it and I potentially will. But you know, that it was a way to get into the property. So.
Yeah. It not only solves the problem of the current owner seller managing the property, but also, you know, what is the owner going to do with all that the proceeds from the sale? If they're just trying to sell to get out of it, what are they going to do with their money? You know,
right. Yeah. And in his case, he didn't want to reinvest it in the real estate because he didn't want that active problem anymore. He wanted to get rid of his problem, which is trying to be on the property. And, you know, he was a hands-on owner. He didn't hire third party property management. He was just very hands-on. And, you know, the outside of his properties were good. The hallways were good, but then when you walked into the units, they just couldn't keep up with the maintenance and couldn't keep up with doing the unit turns. And there was, like I said, there was 11 vacant units. And so the units just weren't getting turned over. It shouldn't take you more than, you know, a few weeks at the most to turn over a unit. So yeah, that was just a problem he needed to get out of it. So you got to figure out what was the main motivation. And then you got to look at what works for you. Another deal that I will talk about is I did in, 11 unit deal. And this property needed a lot of work. He had 4 occupied out of the 11. And he needed quite a bit of work. So what I did with that property is I, again, bought it on a contract, seller financing. He financed 90%. So I gave him a 10% down payment again on that one. This was interest only for 12 months with a 1-year extension possibility. I think this was I think it was at 5% year one. And then I think we had to pay a point if we had to go another year. So we had to pay. What that means is the loan balance, we had to pay 1% of that loan balance to him on month 12 if we wanted to extend for another year, which I knew that wouldn't happen. I knew I could renovate it quicker than that, and I did. So we had to go in and renovate this. Well, it was a big renovation, and what I didn't want is to pay for all that out of my pocket. So what I did is, I can't remember the purchase price. Let's just say it was $200,000, and the renovation was another, let's just call it $150,000. So what I did is I based the loan on the entire amount minus 10%. So we, in this case, $350,000, I paid him, I gave him $35,000. Then what I did is I put part of the construction amount, call it 150 construction. So I think I put around 100 into what's called an escrow account. And that escrow account I was able to draw upon when I was doing construction. And if for any reason I defaulted or, you know, didn't perform to the expectations, he got that money from the escrow account. And so he either got an approved property or he got the money to do the improvements for the property. So that worked really well. I basically made a construction loan with only 10% down. So that one was slick as well. So, and that, I kind of did that with this 120 unit. And I'll talk more about that. I'll probably talk more about that next week. We can really dive into that deal.
I really like that example there, because there's so many properties that need work. And then, especially if you don't have a lot of money to invest to start off with, you know, if you can figure out the purchase and down payment, that's one thing. But then figuring out the renovation cost is a second issue you have to work on. So if the seller can contribute or participate in that, that can just really, really help you out. So
Yep. It was a way to get in with just way less money out of pocket. It still financially worked out really well. And then it worked out for him because he was going to get his payoff within a year or two. And then plus make the interest in the interim. And again, he had 4 out of the 11 units occupied, which means he's making zero. So, and this one actually he had a loan on. So we did a subject to, got the blessing from his bank, his lender, that said we could do this, and they wouldn't foreclose, you know, because you want to make sure if you're doing it when somebody has a loan on it, that adds a whole other layer. You want to make sure that that bank understands what's happening. And if that bank won't sign off on it, you don't want to do a deal like that. You've got to make sure they'll do that deal. So, so some of the other things I haven't done, but I've put into my offers that I'll kind of talk about is another thing you can do is you can make the owner an equity shareholder in your company to do like a carry back. So let's say you need from the bank, you need at least 25% down, which is pretty common. You're buying a $4 million building and you don't have 25% down. Maybe you only have 400,000, 10% down. What you can do is you can still do that whole down payment, but you can have the owner, the current owner. There's two ways. You can have a seller carry back, which oftentimes banks don't like. You'll have to get with the right bank that may be okay with that. Or what you can do is you can create a new entity that the seller will be a part of as a limited partner. And their money then, that's part of their profits, will go back into that property as part of the down payment. And so then your money will be, you only have to bring 10% to the deal. They'll bring the rest. And they get, again, they're a limited partner. It's setting up, basically it's a syndication they're part of that syndication. They're reinvesting back into that property, but it's passively. Why would they do that? Again, it depends on their motivation. Do they want all that money? Are they going to use it right away? Do they want it? Do they want to be passive? So there's a lot of motivation potentially for doing that. That's going to have, you know, I guess all of it, all creative finance is going to have a lot of trust. Can you do your job? Because obviously if you don't, then they don't get anything. But another creative way to do that, and a seller carry back, again, that's another carry. And what's a seller carry back? It, like I said, if you have to bring 75% to the table, instead you only want to bring 10%, the seller gives you a second mortgage for the remaining amount. So you only have to bring that 10%. Again, that has to be blessed by the bank, and there's a lot of lenders that won't do that. So
right.
You have to find the right ones. And usually it's going to be that local lender that's willing to get creative, that's willing to do things like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Yeah, and those two seem very similar, just kind of a different structure to...
Well, the second, the one where the owner is a limited partner now isn't a seller carryback, right? So the banks won't have a problem with that, because they're, if the bank doesn't have a problem with having limited partners, having a syndication, the bank won't have a problem with that, because the seller is now a limited partner and they're investing into that deal as the down payment. They're one of your partners. That's where that kind of helps out. You're not having to find a bank that's okay with you only putting 10% down. They're not putting another mortgage on the property. Hey, I want to interrupt this episode real quick to talk to you about Nate Armstrong. Our sponsor, Nate Armstrong, he's with homeinvest.com, and you want to get to know Nate. So go to homeinvest.com and just connect with Nate. Talk to him. Learn about his operation, what he's got going on. He's a turnkey provider, and it may not be right for you, but it could be the perfect fit. So it doesn't hurt. It's a free call, free consultation, just to figure out, you know, what they do, what they have to offer. And worst case is you're going to meet a great person who's really well educated in real estate. He's done a ton of different real estate strategies, and probably he's going to teach you a little bit, even on a short conversation with him. So go to homeinvest.com and connect with Nate's company. You're definitely not going to be disappointed. It's worth it. So thanks, and we'll get back to our show. We talked a little bit about subject to, John, any examples that you have that you've seen anybody do?
Well, another one kind of on the same train of thought, just a master lease option. It's in where the seller remains the owner, but he allows you to lease the entire building and then sublease it to the various tenants.
Yep, absolutely.
So that allows you to take kind of control of the building. You can implement whatever value add or improvements that you want to make, and then the option is there from the beginning, so you have your purchase price locked in for when you're either financially capable or the building's ready to be financed traditionally. So that's another option that's out there.
So the other option, and I did this with a flip property, is we bought a property that was 40 acres with a house on it. And prior to closing, or actually at the closing, we sold 20 of the acres right at closing. We retained the other 20 acres. And then we chunked off and sold an additional 10 acres shortly thereafter. So now we are only left with 10 acres with the property free and clear, essentially, that we were able to then renovate, put money into the renovation. And so that was our only money out of pocket, was the renovation, which we were able to get a loan on really easily. That can be done, same thing with like timber rights or mineral rights. If you're buying a property that has a lot of woods to it and you can get somebody in to select cut that for you, oftentimes that'll pay for your property or maybe close to it. So you'll be into that property with very little money down. Same thing with mineral rights. Same thing with if you can buy a property and immediately sell it. This is a kind of a different way, but this is, again, a creative way to get passive income. You're not controlling the property in this case anymore, or at least a lot. But if you can buy a property, let's say for, let's just call it $50,000 cash, and you can have somebody come into that, maybe it's even a finance, but you can get the blessing from the bank. You can have somebody come into that property and give you a large down payment, and then have a contract for deed on it. Now you can get your passive income and very little money out of your pocket. So that's another kind of creative way that I've seen people do things. I have not done that myself, but I've seen people do it.
And so you're saying that after you buy it, you're selling it on a contract for deed.
Yep. So yep.
Recapturing so, your...
Or a lease option, you know, but rent to own type of thing. But yeah, you're recapturing a lot of your capital. So the lease option would be a safer thing if you have a bank loan. So let's say you, the same $50,000 property you bought, you had to put 20% down. So you've got your 10K plus some closing costs. And now you can sell that on a lease with the option to purchase, and they give you a $10,000 down payment to do that. Well, now you've recouped all your money, and then you're making your monthly payments on top of that. And as long as your monthly payments are more than what you're paying the bank and paying any other expenses, you're obviously cash flowing them. So that's another good way to cash flow. So there's definitely a lot of other ways to get creative and get properties purchased. I mean, I would call a syndication or private partnership fairly creative. It's not your traditional, you just come to the table with a big lump of money, you know. So syndication, where we're pooling other people's money together, including likely your own, but you're pooling a bunch of money together and you're buying a property. I would call that fairly creative way to purchase a larger building than you otherwise would have been able to purchase. So,
right. Yeah, I guess maybe it's helpful to contrast what we're talking about with kind of this traditional methods of buying properties. And that's to take out a loan through a traditional bank and put it in your name and buy it through kind of those traditional methods. So when we're talking about creative things, it's just changing something or maybe many things in that process to be able to get the deal done, instead of maybe not being able to get the deal but done because something doesn't fit that box of the traditional method.
I think the biggest thing, when you're looking at buying a property, you've got to look at what works, right? And so if traditional financing works, you can get, you know, let's say you're buying a single family house or duplex or fourplex. If you can get 30-year Fannie Mae type debt on it, where it's fixed for 30 years at 4.5% interest, that's a great deal, right? If you can get that type of loan, great, go with it. Why would you go with seller financing? But when it runs out, when you're not able to do that, maybe you've either bought too many properties, maybe the property is distressed, whatever it is, when you don't have that option of traditional financing, then we got to look at how else can we buy this building. For me, a lot of times when I'm buying like the 22 unit, the 11 unit, this 120 unit, when I'm looking at buying these things and I'm going, well, my options are using either hard money or bridge loan, which they're expensive, or seller financing. If I can get seller financing, it's going to work so much better. Or if I could only put 10% down versus 25% down, it can work just way better. It's so much easier for me to come to the table with that. Instead of going to the bank and get buying this property with 25% down, if I can buy it with 10% down, now I can buy two properties or 2.5 properties for that same amount of money. It just works, right? So when we want to try to figure out how to do things differently, that's when we got to get creative. And how do we know? we can do it, we got to ask. Like, that's the biggest thing. When people tell me it can't be done, have you ever asked? Like, that's my question. Have you ever asked? Because I guarantee you, you likely have. Most of the people that are telling me it can't be done, they haven't asked. They just assume.
Or maybe they asked once and they were told no.
Right. But you're going to get told no more often than you're going to get told yes.
Right.
That's just how it is. Every single offer I put in at least two options, if not three, if not four, for me to buy that property. Mm-hmm. One's always a traditional way, and then the other ones are always some sort of creative way. I'm asking every single time, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter what their motivations are. When their motivations aren't that good for seller financing, most of the time I know that they're not even going to, think about that option. But at least I've asked it.
Yeah.
And that way, if it is something that excites them, now we got a deal. Now I got a leg up on the other person that didn't think outside the box.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes the seller or listing agent doesn't want to release the motivation of the seller. You might not know, or even if their stated motivation, or even if you know that, once they see the creative option, maybe their motivation will change. So it's a good idea to present it.
Yeah, and the more detail you can present them, like I said earlier, when I presented the 120 unit, or sorry, on the 22 unit, I'm giving them an amortization schedule. I'm showing this guy exactly what he's going to make passively without any work. He's got to collect all he does every month is opens his mailbox, makes that checkout, and then actually he doesn't even do that because we said ACH. So every month he just clicks onto his bank account and goes, ooh, oh, the money's there. Okay. Go back to playing with my grandkids. Go back to hanging out with my family. I'm done. That's it. Doesn't have to take tenant calls. Doesn't have to do anything. So it works for him. It works well for him. So, but if I didn't ask, I guarantee you, I wouldn't have got that financing. So.
Say another thing to think about, and this was mentioned at the MREE meeting recently.
Okay.
Just about what other things could you offer besides cash? And so we went through an exercise at the meeting of just what else do you have? Do you have a boat? Do you have a car? Do you have a service? Do you have something else of value that could be valuable to that seller or maybe to another investor that can come alongside with the cash in exchange for your personal property?
So, or even a service.
Right.
Right. If you're a contractor and maybe they have that property, maybe they have their own house, maybe they even have a couple other properties and they need work done on all of them, you can come in as a contractor, give them a bid of $150,000 for the work. You're matching or beating any other contractor or any other reputable contractor out there, yet you can get that work done for whatever, 25% less. Now you just created, some work for your employees, and then you created basically instant equity in that property by doing that. So yeah, at work exchange, attorneys or whatever, if you've got a service type business where you can exchange that, or like you said, if you've got something valuable that you can exchange, the other thing too is to think about are there tax credits? Is there government type funding? Can you do anything like that? We know both of us, I'm not going to mention his name because I don't know if he wants us to, but we know a guy that did a lot of tax credits on a building in Minneapolis and did really well with it. It was a pain in his butt, yet he did it and got it done and it was profitable for him to do it. Can you put solar panel on there? Would that make you money? Will that recoup? A lot of times we might have to actually have that money up front, but then we can recoup it very quickly. Well, in government terms very quickly. But we can recoup that, you know, in a relatively short amount of time. So those are other things that you got to think about. Can we do stuff like that? Because there's a lot of programs out there. There is, and can we tap into those programs?
Yep. There's there's historical tax credits. There's affordable housing tax credits. So yeah, lots of different programs. You have to take the time to learn those programs and then go through the processes, maybe right. pay somebody to consult you or guide you through that. But then it can help to get a deal done where it otherwise wouldn't. So
yeah. Yeah.
Another service to mention here also is real estate agent. You know, if you're working with a buyer's agent and you're coming up short a couple thousand, tens of thousands or something like that on your down payment, well, maybe that agent would contribute their commission that they're going to earn in exchange for some equity for the property. So,
yeah, absolutely. I think that happens a decent amount. I know some brokers don't like doing it because of the conflict of interest to it, but is definitely something you can talk to them about if they'd be willing to do that. You know, and as long as it's properly disclosed, I think it becomes challenging when there's, you know, 20 offers and yours is pushed to the front. But if it's a kind of a fair shake deal and then the broker says, hey, look, this guy wants me to put my commission into the deal and I'm willing to do that, but he's going to cut me into this deal. Are you okay with that? Then I think it's fine. I think it's just got to be fully disclosed if you're going to do something like that, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, cool. I'm sure there's other creative methods, and potentially our listeners have other creative methods. And if you've done anything that you think is creative that we haven't covered, I'd love to hear from it, because I think that's a huge part of this business, and really in any business. If you can get creative to try to make profits, to try to gain equity, to try to, you know, get that cash flow coming in, I think you're going to be way ahead of those who just traditionally buy and only think that way, just one direction. So anybody's got any of that, share it out, you know, on Facebook and let us know. And I'll mention it on our next week's episode when we talk about, I think next week we'll maybe kind of dig a little bit more into this 120 unit and kind of how we set things up there.
Cool. That sounds great.
John, you got anything else?
No, you know, we appreciate all the viewers and listeners. If you've just been listening to us, be sure to also check out the YouTube channel. If you've just been watching us, be sure to check out the podcast. It's the same content, but you can experience it different ways. So, and while you're there, just scroll down and like Todd said, comment with your input and your feedback. We'd love to hear from you. And you can also find us on Facebook. And I'd love to hear from you. So,
cool. Yeah, we got and also, you know, we got a great sponsor. Some of you maybe fast forward through it, but we got a great sponsor and he's always willing to talk to people and he's just knowledgeable in real estate. So even if you never, you never do business with Nate, he's just a great person to get a hold of. So people should reach out to him as well. And he's always willing to talk to people. It's just got a lot of knowledge too. So, well, cool, man. I appreciate it. We'll talk a little bit more about this next week. Hopefully somebody chimes in, tells us what they've done. We can add it to the show. And other than that, man, have a good rest of the day. Make every day Saturday.
You too.
Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity and properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy to understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars to claim your free course today.